be on the screen. The reading is from Hebrews 9, starting at the beginning. Now the first covenant also had regulations for ministry and an earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was set up, and in the first room, which is called the holy place, were the lampstand, the table, and the presentation loaves. Behind the second curtain was a tent called the most holy place. It had the gold altar of incense and the ark of the covenant, covered with gold on all sides, in which a gold jar contained the manna, Aaron's staff that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. The cherubim of glory were above the ark, overshadowing the mercy seat. It is not possible to speak about these things in detail right now. With these things prepared like this, the priests enter the first room repeatedly, performing their ministry. But the high priest alone enters the second room, and he does that only once a year and never without blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was making it clear that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed, while the first tabernacle was still standing. This is a symbol for the present time, during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the worshipper's conscience. They are physical regulations and only deal with food, drink, and various washings imposed until the time of the new order. But Christ has appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come. In the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered the most holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption.
Well, there are many mysteries in life, aren't there? Who killed JFK? What was the purpose of the Stonehenge? Or even sometimes just, what's for dinner? Now, some would say that religion is one of those great mysteries. I mean, how can we know if there's a God up there or not, listening to our prayers, in charge of our world? How can we possibly know what awaits us beyond death? Are these questions, as some would have you believe, actually unanswerable mysteries? I think sometimes as we ask these questions, it can feel a bit like being a Christian is a bit like taking a walk behind a curtain into a dark, unknown room, just trusting that it's going to be how we hope. Can we see God and how we can be with God? Can we see beyond death and what awaits us? We may think, no. After all, there's a veil between us and those answers. We cannot see with our own eyes God before us, nor what lies beyond death, not till we actually pass through that veil, that barrier. Friends, as we come to this part of Hebrews, to answer these great mysteries, we're actually going to think about something called, as Dennis mentioned, the tabernacle, and specifically the veil, or our translation says, the curtain within it. Now, the veil was really just a big curtain which separated the innermost part of the temple, the tabernacle, from the rest of it. It was a barrier, a thing that could not be seen past or even walked past. Now, this may be an odd place to seem like an odd place to go in order to answer these questions about being with God and life beyond death. But see, the tabernacle was actually all about these ideas, life, death, and the ability to be with God in his presence. And as we take in one hand the work of the tabernacle and in our other hand the work of Jesus and see how they come together in Hebrews 9, what I hope you learn from this part of the Bible is that we need to follow Jesus and actually see what it means to follow Jesus as he walks into that dark, curtained room before us, as he pulls back the curtain on life beyond death and being in the presence of God. And he invites us to follow in his footsteps. Well, let us pray that today we may see the unseeable and know the unknowable. Please join me. Heavenly Father, you have shown us what lies ahead, both if we hold to Jesus as our Saviour and also if we do not. Help us to trust in him as he goes before us, opening the way to you and to eternal life. Amen. Well, the answer to our question of how we can be in God's presence and know what comes beyond death is the tabernacle. Sermon over, right? Go enjoy morning tea. No, not really. The tabernacle truly is how we answer these important questions. Now, you might not give much thought to the tabernacle throughout your daily life. You might not even know what a tabernacle is. That's okay, because we're going to get stuck into it today. But actually, as we get to Hebrews 9, we don't just have one tabernacle, but two very different tabernacles. The earthly one and the heavenly one. Now, the earthly tabernacle is the one from Exodus. You see it described in Exodus 26, but then also from Exodus 35 all the way to 40, you get six long chapters on describing how it was set up. It was where God would dwell amongst his people, and it was kind of the center point of the whole sacrificial system in the Old Testament. But in short, it was just a really, really fancy tent. Verse 2 to verse 5 of chapter 9 in Hebrews speak of just some of the details of it. There's descriptions of where to put the lampstands, the bread, the altars, and the jars, and so on. To get the full picture, you'd actually have to go back to Exodus 35 to 40. You know, just six chapters on this tabernacle. But in verse 5, even the author of Hebrews admits that's kind of way too much detail for his sermon. And so I figure if it's too much for him, it's probably a bit too much for me as well. So we won't go through every last detail, but a couple of things to notice. First of all, within this tent, there are two rooms. The first room is the holy place. And then we also have the most holy place, two different rooms. And these two different rooms, the holy place and the most holy place, were divided by a curtain. The holy place was where the priests could go once they were cleansed by blood. And the most holy place, where God dwelt among his people, was closed off by the curtain. It was where the Ark of the Covenant was laid and the mercy seat. And it was kind of seen as where God dwelt among his people. Now, only the high priest could go in there, and only once a year under extreme pressure, you know, very strict preparation had to be made before he could go in. But, you know, we've just said there are two rooms, but the curtain is really important. Now, when we think of a door or a curtain, we kind of think of access, right? But actually, the curtain wasn't about access to God's presence, but the opposite. It was a barrier. It wasn't like a wedding veil. It was, when we talk about the veil of the temple, it was something you couldn't see through. You couldn't even walk through it. And so here's what the earthly tabernacle and its curtain said to us. You cannot enter. You are unclean. You are unholy. It spoke of the cost of redemption, which we see in the whole bloody process of sacrifice, where blood was sprinkled daily by priests on people and on the tabernacle. Because, verse 22, according to the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. For priests to enter the holy place, cost life. For the high priest to enter the most holy place cost life, albeit the life of animals. But what we see is the cost of redemption. We see what it takes to be in the presence of God. Now, let's be clear. Verse 9, even with these sacrifices, they couldn't deal with their sin. Instead, the first tabernacle was a symbol for the present time, during which gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the worshipper's conscience. The priest had to continuously make the sacrifices, and those sacrifices didn't even make things right between people and God. People couldn't just walk past the curtain after they'd made a sacrifice. They still couldn't enter his presence. So the mystery remained. How could people be with God? How could they have any confidence beyond death? Those mysteries were unanswered. It is as we see in verse 8. The way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed while the first tabernacle was still standing. That is, they still didn't have access to God. After all, they had a whopping great curtain keeping them out. This is the earthly tabernacle, according to verse 1, set up according to the first covenant. Now, we only need to flip back a page, one verse to the end of chapter 8, to be told that this covenant is obsolete and passing away. So what's the point? Well, for starters, I think it makes it very clear that those two questions we began with cannot be answered by human efforts. That on our own, we have no hope of knowing God and being in his presence. On our own, we actually have no confidence when it comes to passing through the curtain of death that we cannot see past, and knowing that we find life on the other side in God's presence. With the old covenant and the old tabernacle, the way into God's presence was not open. They were physically reminded of that by the barrier put in place. It was an ineffective system. The first tabernacle didn't deal with sin. It was only a temporary provision. It didn't allow God's people to enter his presence, only the high priest, only once a year. But it's interesting, right? Even having just said it's ineffective, we don't just throw out the idea of the tabernacle as the way to being with God. Instead, we see that the tabernacle of the Old Testament, where priests sacrificed animals according to the Levitical laws, was actually, as verse 9 describes it, a symbol. But it's a symbol of the good things that have come in Jesus. It shows us where we've come from, and it shows us where Jesus now leads us. From unable to be with God, unable to deal with our sin, unable to enter through the earthly curtain, now into the heavenly tabernacle and through the curtain in it. It's a symbol of actually how we can be with God and how we can do what could never be done in the old covenant with its old tabernacle. We can pass through the curtain. See verse 11. Christ has appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come. In the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered the most holy place once for all time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Notice a few things. Firstly, we're still talking about priesthood here. We spoke last week about Jesus' priestly role of living and interceding for us. And we see it again here. In the same way that Old Testament priests made a sacrifice for the rest of Israel, well, Jesus makes a sacrifice for the whole world. Secondly, notice where Jesus goes. He goes into the tabernacle, but it's a different tabernacle. It's not handmade, not of this creation like the one in Exodus. No, this was the tabernacle that was no mere symbol, but the heavenly reality of access to God. And he doesn't just enter the holy place, but the most holy place. That is, Jesus goes behind the curtain. And the cost? Well, you might think that the Son of God walks into God's presence behind the curtain with no worries. And yet look at Hebrews 9. It's not the blood of goats and calves that Jesus goes with, like the high priest of the Old Testament. But he does go with blood. It's his own blood. Jesus, born a man, goes through the barrier between God and man by dying on the cross. Jesus crosses through the curtain. But what's more, Jesus doesn't just go through the curtain. He says, follow me. He says, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so back in Hebrews, chapter 10, 19, and 20, we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus. He has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain. With Jesus' death, the old tabernacle, the one that kept people away from God, is gone. At Jesus' death, he tears the sanctuary curtain in the earthly tabernacle. Matthew 27, 51. As Jesus dies, suddenly the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The old is gone, torn from top to bottom. The tabernacle of the new covenant is the dwelling place of God in heaven that the earthly tabernacle could only imitate. The blood of Jesus is the death that actually washes our conscience clean, which the blood of animals only imitated. Christ has entered and will return from the most holy place, bringing redemption and salvation. As the high priest entering and returning from the old most holy place, only imitated. The old was a shadow of what was to come in Jesus' death. Now it's in Jesus that we have the answers to those mysteries. I realize the question is an easy one to ask and a hard one to answer. How can I know what happens beyond the grave? We look around and we don't see Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, after rising from the dead, Jesus is, so to speak, taken behind the curtain. He was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took them out of their sight. But in showing us his victory over death, in rising to life, Jesus has opened up the way to the Father and eternal life. And shows us that we don't need to be afraid of death, but that we can pass through that curtain confidently by his blood. That having just seen Jesus go through the curtain and have eternal life, we too can find eternal life in the most holy of places, in God's presence. And so with the confidence of actually following Jesus where he goes, through the curtain, by his blood, the book of Hebrews kind of makes three conclusions, three implications for our life based on the confidence we have. Draw near to God. Hold on real tight to that hope you have. And lastly, gather together. We read in chapter 10 from verse 19, because we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, these 3 points. Firstly, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Draw near to God. You are washed clean, so do not waste it. You're welcome in to be with God, so draw near, unafraid. Before Jesus' work, to draw near to God was a death warrant. But you are clean. You are welcome. Do you seek closeness with God? Do you draw near to eternal life through the curtain, so to speak, with the confidence of one washed clean by Jesus' blood? Evil as we were, we're washed clean. And verse 23, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Hold on to your hope. Confess it. Do so without wavering, because God is not wavering. God is faithful. Know that God will not let you down if you put your hope in him to save you. He is faithful. Death is scary, but he is faithful. And lastly, verse 24. Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, we need each other. Gather together. Provoke each other, encourage each other to actually take those next steps of living out our hope, to love and to do good works. Friends, there are many mysteries in this life, but God has spelled this out for us. Jesus opens up the way to God, to life beyond the grave. He opens it by his blood and he leads the way in resurrection, assuring us that it is good to walk through. So may you draw near to God and together hold on tight to that hope we have in Jesus. Amen.